Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to an all-new Orphan Black After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're going to be recapping Season 5, Episode 4, titled Let the Children and the Childbearer Toil. We have a new host in the house, so excited, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, ABTV Clone Club. Thank you so much for tuning into our Orphan Black After Show here at AfterBuzz. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. This awesome guy to my left here.
Hello, everybody. My name's Matt Marr. I was so bummed that I missed last week. I was at a wedding in Florida. That episode with Allison, it was everything. So awesome. If you haven't watched, but yeah, I'm Matt Marr. You can find me at mattmarr.tv.
And our new host.
Hey guys, Rick Hong here. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G. And I might just be version one of myself. Maybe someone else shows up that looks like me next week.
Oh.
I like it.
Mystery. I feel like we have to tell audience too why you're dressed the way you are.
Oh, because I'm on the glow panel. So like that's my alter ego. I'm Commander USA. And you know, to keep up with the theme of 4th of July. So that's why I'm all decked out in red, white, and blue.
So, and that's on Netflix. So if you're watching Glow, check it out on AfterBuzz Show and you'll get a lot of Rick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually going to start it the glowing review. So what did we all think about tonight's episode? I know me and Matt had a couple mixed opinions.
We've already thought about it.
Let's start with you, Rick. What'd you think?
I liked this episode because I felt like last week's episode kind of got off the path a little bit of the mystery of the show. And I thought this one, especially since this is the last season. This is the last season. We're getting towards halfway of midpoint of the season. Mm-hmm. So I like this episode where it kind of got back on track. And clearly we find out a lot happens in terms of, you know, reveals. We finally meet PT Westmoreland, right, and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we see a lot more of him, that's for sure. And we get to and we meet the creature. We'll just call
the
him
creature.
That.
Oh, yeah. It was a bear, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a bear.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bear.
You know, I've seen a few bears like that in West Hollywood out in the late night.
Cha-ching. That was a good one. I know you really liked it, Matt.
I did. I mean, now that you said that, though, I agree with, I loved last week's Allison episode, but as you said, it did seem more like a season two or season three episode than final season, because there's just so much stuff to kind of get through. But I did like this episode only because it really it brought back, I think, too, just with last week, too, we're seeing how Allison met the clones and everything. But I feel like they are, for these fans that have watched this show all along, they're giving us some nice callbacks and being like, oh, this is starting to make sense. And it makes me excited kind of for what's yet to come.
Yeah, so I think I obviously was the one that it wasn't my favorite of the four that we've seen thus far. Mm-hmm. And personally, for me, season three was my least favorite season. I could not stand season
which
three
was
very
much. Virginia Cody.
Exactly.
She was a big bad that
so
season. And all the boy clones.
Yeah, I appreciate all the callbacks, but I'm thinking, can we just call back to a different season? Because this is the one I'll never watch again. I rewatch shows all the time. But for me, you know, I liked it. I also thought we were getting a lot of story to move forward. But I loved last episode because it's just backstory we haven't seen before.
And we've said on the show before that we all very much love Allison. So
yes, definitely.
We don't, your favorite? Do you have a favorite clone?
Oh, yeah. Well, who's your favorite clone?
Oh, man. Who's
your spirit clone?
I don't know about my spirit clone.
Like your spirit animal?
Yeah, I don't know about spirit animal on that one, but I do. And I'm kind of bummed that they've kind of had her in and out is Helena.
We did get some Helena this episode. Let's start off by talking about Sarah. All right.
Oh, by the way, somebody just commented on our live stream and said every season has an Allison-centric episode. I think they are right. I think there actually is. They kind of veer off and there's just an Allison episode.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
I've never thought about that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, no.
I like her as a character. I just kind of thought that is like I said, for a final season.
Yeah.
It's just a little weird to have that episode.
Huh,
it was maybe a little too much.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I think it was there for a reason, and that we'll find out later. With Sarah, we're seeing the repercussions last week of what Kira did to herself. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I'm trying to think that Kira cut herself.
That was in, because I watched both of them this morning. So that was last week.
Yeah. So Kira cut herself. She has not healed, and her and Sarah are kind of on the mend-ish, but they're still fighting, and Kira is not listening to her. And then she sees Kira's cut, and she gets very, very concerned, asks what Rachel had done to her. And this is when she realizes, though, that Kira did it to herself, and she, from everything that's happening, this child is bound to get a little messed up, right?
Yeah, well, and Sarah Manning is her mother. I mean, let's remember Sarah in the first season of this show.
Right.
So, like, I actually think, like, what's happening is that they're doing a weird reverse. Because there's even a line that, like, that mother says to S kind of later in the episode. But I feel like they're foreshadowing that, like, that she's taking, that Kira is taking, I just blanked.
Sarah's
place. And Sarah's kind of taking the role of Mrs. S. And I hope that doesn't mean Mrs. S dies.
I didn't think about it that way. But
I'm nervous about it.
We'll get into the Mrs. S stuff. But, yeah, no, but now it's making so much sense.
It's her daughter. Yeah, she's going to be a Spitfire.
We don't know your exact opinions, Rick, about Kira and her powers. So yeah. I would just like to ask you, what do you think is going on with this child?
I mean, relatively, if this, it's been this many seasons, and this is the first time she's kind of just cutting herself or kind of, she's kind of normal, considering everything that she's seen over the past couple of seasons.
And it wasn't even like, oh, I hate myself. It was, I want to see what happens. Were you guys surprised that she didn't heal right away? I mean, that's what I saw. I thought for a second, maybe I'm wrong. I thought they were going to open the bandage and it was going to be fine. It was bloody, the bandage, but I thought, oh, maybe it was going to, but it wasn't fine. She still had a gash in her arm.
It's because there's always a mystery, though, in this show. Like, every time they're doing some sort of experiment, the experiment never goes exactly the way that they want it.
Yes.
So it kind of makes sense that, right, and come on, she's not Wolverine. I mean, this isn't a Marvel TV show.
I've talked about this past couple episodes. I felt as though the season finale of last season was bordering the line of science fiction and fantasy. And they're similar, but they're different. They usually don't cross over all that much. If you're science fiction, which this show clearly is, then Kira cannot be a magic baby. Or Helena's cannot be in magic babies.
Well, I think we didn't know at the beginning of the season, but I feel like now, 4 episodes in, we are really seeing that they're going the route of science. I mean, even Sarah says, like, part during the episode, she's like, that place is like the island of Dr. Moreau, which is what we said
great line.
The shows, and all that is about. That was fantasy, but it was based all in science and human technology, genome. I can't say
well, let's talk about P.T., Westmoreland. So we found out some info that Scott...
Rip Van Evil.
Yes, that Scott found out. Love Scott. Scott tells us a bit more about him. He was allegedly born in 1843. He's a one-time member of the Royal Geographic Society, and he was presumed dead after disappearing in the Borneo jungle in 1898. Interesting, you know, just facts thrown at us. I was reading an EW article, I think, or no, Vulture. It was a Vulture article, and it was just like, this episode was facts, and we don't know if they're going to be important or not. But they threw a lot of facts at us.
They did.
I like that, though. I like the context of, like, here's quick history about who this guy is. In case, because we've had time to invest in all the other characters. So here's, like, a new guy that they introduced. They don't have enough time to try to fill in all the holes over the next 6 episodes. So I like that they just kind of just... It's like, who is this guy? Okay, perfect.
You know, that's a really good point when you think about last seasons of shows. Indeed, know it's going to be the last. They really should put in more unanswered questions in the dialogue, just so fans can go back and watch it. If they were like, oh, I didn't know about this, they go, well, episode 4, we did a little monologue about where he came from.
So
I definitely appreciated that. Let's talk about this Elizabeth Perkins and the con with Mrs. S and
what's
Sarah.
What's Elizabeth Perkins on Weeds, by the way? Isn't she an actress?
Yeah, she's an actress. Yeah, no, she's
a really funny actress.
Awesome actress.
Yeah.
I mean, not exactly like the Elizabeth Perkins that we meet isn't the Elizabeth Perkins, the actress.
The
but
name.
Yes, you are right.
Yes, the name. So they go in, Mrs. S and Sarah, and they con her. I don't remember seeing them con a lot of people in the past, and it seems like a very natural thing to them.
No, even Amanda Lark, I can't say your last name, sugar, on the says, this episode was also a fantastic showcase of Mrs. S. Props to her for mastering her American accent. It was really funny to hear her to speak that. It was a nice bit of
humor.
And
then question herself and start again and then question herself. I absolutely loved that. And, I mean, what did you guys think about that scene with Sarah and Mrs. S.?
again, I think it's, we're seeing, she literally is like, I really feel like Mrs. S thinks that she might get killed or something, because it's like she's training Sarah to do what she does. I mean, when they walked in the hotel, she's like, do you see where the drop is? Or whatever term. I would be a terrible spy. I would, like, fall my glass. It would be bad. I'd squeal. But, no, she's literally, like, she is. She is testing her to see if Sarah can do the stuff that she's doing.
What do you think, Rick?
No, I mean it was a clever scene. It was a really clever scene in terms of because like I didn't even expect her to pull the whole when she threw the drink in the face.
Yes.
The next move, I didn't even see it coming until she did it. I was like, oh, that's a genius.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when did they start conning? Because they were fighting and then they started fake fighting. So
well, again, apparently that's a good con, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, for real,
someone
though,
could take all my money.
They were fighting about real stuff before they started fighting about fake stuff. So again, I just love the acting and the writing on this. It's so swift, and you have no idea what's happening.
Yeah,
you're whoa, another person.
Well, and you also didn't know. It's smart for us audience that that Mrs. S doesn't tell Sarah what necessarily she's always up to. And I like that, because if she did, then it would be so boring if Mrs. S said, hey, we're going to do this, and then they did it. Whereas we're in Sarah's position and seeing the scene through her eyes, which is, I think, smart for the writers to put it that way, is we're kind of finding out everything as she finds out as well.
Yeah.
And I like that device.
Rick, do you think that Mrs. S is feeding things to Sarah and Felix because she feels like they're too volatile?
They're unpredictable?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're at like a need-to-know basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's smart, because like you can't wrangle unpredictable people. So sometimes it's like, right, just give them just little bits and here and there, because when people go off the rails, that ruins like the plan that you have. And she's a person that has a plan.
Yes.
And she tries to execute it the way that she wants to.
Yes.
Therefore, you've got to manipulate the people around you and only give them little bits and chunks so that they don't go off the rails.
Yeah, and it wasn't just, and we still didn't get full answers where, I mean, is it Felix's sister that's been feeding information to S? You know, where she said, like, when they were going to the mental institution, and Sarah's like, where did you get this information? And Mrs. S wouldn't tell her.
I don't think it was Felix's sister.
Which I thought that was a great callback of that character, and so smart.
I think that it was, Cosima's girlfriend.
Oh, Delphine.
Delphine.
Mm. Yes. I forgot about that.
Yes, or ex, Delphine, just the... I don't even believe what her name is anymore.
Yeah.
right.
She's like the girl undercover. Looks. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, we did see that brief moment, I want to say about two episodes ago, with Delphine and Mrs. Mm-hmm. S.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking that's where they're triggering info. Got to talk about Felix a little bit. Like you were saying, Adele comes back.
Yeah. That's why I love this episode, because... characters, I remember thinking, like, what was the point of her being on this show?
Yeah.
I feel like she was here for, like, four episodes, and they needed, like, something funny, because everything else was so dark. And I was a little kind of like, what the hell? And then when they brought her back, and that you find out that she has all this embezzlement experience, and that's
what
she has
a purpose. She has a purpose.
Oh, wow, that was really good, writers. Like, and this makes sense. It doesn't seem fake or convoluted. It actually makes sense that S would draw in this person.
I'm still thinking on that. I'm still unsure of Adele's purpose. I honestly am. What do you think, Rick?
I mean, they haven't done too bad of a job of introducing characters where you're like, that was a waste of a character.
Exactly.
So there is, and especially in season five, you can't do it.
You can't
introduce a character and bring someone back so that they don't fulfill what they need to do.
Everything on the Buffalo, they need to use it.
At least in this series. That does happen in other series, but in this series, they've done a pretty good job where a character has a purpose of like what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and who knows? Maybe Felix has some sort of weird, very, very happy ending with in terms of like finding himself and his family. And,
Maybe. It is cool to see Felix go back to painting new, too. Because, again, we haven't really seen that since the first season.
Yeah, he started again.
Yeah, it's just nice.
It makes me sometimes feel that Felix is going to be one of the only ones left alive at the end of this thing.
Maybe.
He is just going to somehow be carrying on the clone legend, even though he's not one. But his thing with his sister, I still don't trust her.
You don't trust her.
Is basically the end of the story. And they're going to Switzerland together. And I hope that they don't write Felix off for
I don't think
like
so.
A bunch
yeah.
of the season.
Everyone's going away. I mean, we'll talk about other characters. Like, clones are even saying they're going away.
I mean, they I should know, have gone yeah. away from the second they found out.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
I would run so fast. Okay, so after Felix, we see Helena again. You know, Sarah goes to the convent to mm-hmm. we got a glimpse of Helena there this last episode, I believe, mm-hmm. and she's been hiding there. And the thing I loved about this conversation is that those glimpses that Sarah was getting of Kira in the first couple episodes, or I think maybe the last episode of the last season and the first episode of this season. And I said, is this a psychic
Yeah, we, that's, we thing? Didn't know if she was like, you know, Gandalf now or something.
Yeah, but Helena knew from the start that her and Sarah were super connected and she felt what she felt. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time Sarah has explained to her, I distanced myself from you even after you were good. Because I didn't feel that feeling. I don't understand it, but now I understand it because she did see Kira... Mm-hmm. in those two episodes kind of communicating with her. Mm-hmm. I loved this scene. And I just kept mm-hmm. thinking, oh, I'm so glad those two actresses get to work together again every time.
Oh, yeah, every time, yeah. She's so right.
I'm like, they have so much chemistry.
Such a well-deserved Emmy. Such a well-deserved Emmy.
I mean, okay, so what did you guys get out of this conversation between Sarah and Helena?
I mean, I was... That's my problem. It's like I like that they're bonding. I like that they're bonding, mm-hmm. and but it just it's a reminder to me of just where it's great that Helena is there, but she's not, you know, her full self because it's like she's laid up. She's laid up, and it was cool to hear the story about the nun.
Oh yeah,
and you know, and but it's nice. It's like they kind of had to write off one sister for like at least an episode, mm-hmm. or not like not completely write off, but just kind of say like I got to go bye bye for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then it's nice that they at least have Helena there to balance that out.
I always think about you know Tatiana's like pay because they.
She's in every scene. Yeah, right.
I really just hope that they treat it kind of like it's a different actress. Oh, this actress would have gotten paid this much.
Well, I'm sure. I noticed. I never knew this, but on this episode, she was a producer of this episode. I don't know if she's a producer.
No,
of
the whole season.
Well.
The whole season.
Oh, yeah.
The whole
so
season.
Yeah, she's fine, girl. She's fine.
I know.
She's a producer.
Just want to take care of my girl.
Yeah,
you know.
I think she's totally being taken care of.
It's so good, but. And I love when Helena said, well, when the babies are out, we killed them. Like, we kill Rachel, we kill PT, and Susan. No. And when
Which you're kind of like, yes, yes. Yeah,
and that's a good accent, by the way.
Yeah. Thank
that's
you.
That's pretty good.
When Sarah said, no, you go take care of those babies, I was thinking, oh, dear. No, I don't know who the hell is going to take care of these babies.
They've got there's so many of them, right? I
mean, Allison will probably take care of the babies.
Yeah,
Allison and Donnie will run off to Hawaii, maybe.
I mean, hopefully Kira like straightens out and she can kind of help babysit a little bit too.
Yeah.
And there's Felix and Felix's sister.
Yeah, exactly.
If everybody comes out alive, which we don't know.
Let's next talk about this Virginia reveal. So we see when Sarah and Mrs. S were conning this, what was her name?
Cedar Ridge.
Elizabeth Perkins. Yeah, yes. They go to the hospital where they were supposed to meet Alex Ripley, who was also Virginia. It's called Cedar Ridge. And, I mean, they have her doped up. I don't even know what we thought happened to Virginia. I guess I'm trying to remember because season 3 is the one I haven't watched a million times.
I know that she killed Paul.
I know she
killed
Paul, too.
And I hate her for that, because Paul was so hot.
I do wish Sarah would have slapped her for killing Paul as well.
I know. Ooh, Paul. But,
I love Paul.
But I'm trying to remember how, like, she went away. I don't remember that.
Hey, chat. I mean, hey, we got the chat up.
Yeah,
so, let's chime it in and we'll discuss it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, did we think she was, like, did we think she was, like, oh, what a other woman? Did we think she was dead? The one that's alive now, I'm blanking.
Virginia?
Blonde lady.
Delphine.
No, the other one.
Susan.
There's a lot of women who died and not died on this show. I don't remember. I do know, though, I love what this set up of, the alliances and triangles of these three people that are, you know, again, it makes the complexity of, you know, first it was Dyad, then it was Neolution, and now it's, you know, this cult. And it's just so, but the infighting in between, it makes for, like, that'll be a cool scene, hopefully, between Susan and between Virginia.
Yes. I mean, we found out about their rivalry, which is very interesting. We'll get into when we talk about Susan.
And she stole the visitor's badge, too, right? We saw that, like, when they were fighting, she took Sarah's visitor badge. I guess that was for her to get out.
She took a Sarah number from earlier. Distraction, and then take it.
Exactly. What I think happened is that Sarah gave her what she wanted to, and then they kind of were, let's give you the badge because they want more information.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, when she hit Sarah and grabbed her, all of that, like, Sarah knew she was taking the badge. She knew that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And she looked creepy as heck. I'm looking at her and I go, who? I know you look familiar.
I had to Google her because I couldn't remember what she looked like.
I mean, I did because I remembered her killing Paul, and I was so very upset.
Oh, yes. Eddie says in the chat, Virginia was captured by Ferdinand.
Oh,
remember?
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Ferdinand.
Eddie, me. Thank you.
Yes. That great callback.
Yeah, great callback.
So let's talk about the Cosima of it all. So with Cosima's storyline, we start off with this Aisha and Charlotte, you know, the girl that's sick, Aisha, yeah, and Mud. So Aisha and Charlotte see that a pig has gone loose. Mm-hmm. They go to chase it in the forest. And Mud, I think Mud is just a really good camp counselor that, you know, is trying.
Okay, I'm actually founded a summer camp, so I was a camp director. You were 1,000,000% right. That is like the most on-point description of her ever.
Yeah, she's just trying really hard to protect everybody and get everyone's best interests at heart.
Yeah.
So these children follow the pig into the woods, and the pig has huge, like, gross, you know, bite, whatever it is.
Which, and I didn't know if that was, like, a Three Little Pigs pair. Like, I didn't know if this person was going to be, like, a wolf man. Like, literally, I didn't know if they were kind of just making an homage to Three Little Pigs and, like, being chased by a monster or wolf. Because it sounded like a wolf. Like, in the thing, he kind of, like, growls, and he's, like, gruff.
What did you think about this creature when we were first introduced to him?
When we saw him?
Yeah, when he attacked, like, Sarah in the when first episode.
Yeah, the first episode, Rick, of the season, when we saw him attack her. Like, what did you think he was?
I did kind of think, okay, he is a experiment gone wrong, but I didn't think too much of it past that.
Mm-hmm.
until like we see him again. Mm-hmm. And you know what, I didn't actually put that much thought into that. I was like thinking about all the other stuff that was going on. So, like, you know, it was clearly, like, there's like some experiment gone wrong, but yeah. I was concentrating too much on the other storylines to really be thinking about that specific character until, like, now that they brought him forth to kind of explain who this character is.
Mm.
So I mentioned this when we were first introduced. I was a big fan of Wayward Pines, and I watched that, obviously, and I was thinking
just season
the
one,
Abbeys.
Right?
No, unfortunately, season two is also...
Oh, did it go off?
I watched a few, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm done.
Yeah, I was like, I have to finish this, but...
Oh, I hate that. I'm still mad at True Blood.
Oh, well...
Sorry, go ahead.
We'll talk later about that one. Yeah, but I thought these were, like, the Abbeys, and there was more of them, that it was one of many. But we learn in this episode that it was just one guy.
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, Amanda, Larry, like, she writes that, I thought the monster in the woods was another brain-fried caster.
I thought that, too. I said that. Remember? I thought it could be another, because I just wanted that actor to be, like, shirtless running in the woods. But still, I thought that.
Well, also, just real quick about Charlotte, like you said, there's no scene or character put in this show that doesn't really have a reason.
Exactly.
So, with Charlotte, we're still really curious about her reason. I think that Cosima is meant to help her. But also, Charlotte is getting better, and we see that when Cosima is treating her, and she's blowing into this thing that they have you blow into
the hospital. Which Cosima's cured. Yeah. Cosima's cured now, right? I mean... she got the cure.
She did, but I think that Cosima had said that it's not that easy, but I think it's working very well on Charlotte.
See, and that's the thing about this show, is you can never be 100% sure if she's cured, then all of a sudden, like, some disease shows up. We can't be sure. We won't be sure until episode 10.
No, I agree.
Yeah, sadly.
Which is almost half
a year. You bring up a good question, absolutely. I feel the same way.
It's like, but she is getting better.
I believe that she is, but...
And with... And what I liked about this, too, and what we kind of find out a little bit talking about Mud, is that you didn't know if Mud was, like, she had drank the Kool-Aid at the cult. Like, kind of what was keeping her being
Well, we still don't know.
Well, but now, though, we see that she's scared as shit. You know what I mean? That, like, that she's terrified of either Westmoreland or, and we still don't know of what per se, but she is scared and we see that fear. I think it's more of, I think they want us to believe that this bald, like, wolf, whatever, monster is kind of the big bad, but I think we're going to see that it's, I mean, I know we know Westmoreland's a bad guy, but I think we're going to find out how much more horrific he is. And I think that's why Mud is helping him with that infusion thing, whatever they were doing.
Maybe she wants to see the creature get better.
Yeah, I think she does.
Maybe.
Okay, so we see Cosima follow Mud. She knows that Mud knows the answers.
I started talking, yeah.
No, so it's fine. So we see Mud continue to follow her, or follow Cosima.
Uh-huh.
Nope, Cosima follows Mud.
Yeah.
And she goes to PT's house, and she's giving him some kind of an infusion, which I know that we'll get a call back later to. We're going to figure out what she's putting in the IV.
Yeah.
But he is fond of Mud. You know, he goes, "You've grown so much." That makes me think that he didn't think much of her to begin with.
Well, her people call her Mud, so you don't really think of that as a respectable name, you know?
You're right. I think that we're going to figure out a lot more about Mud and why she's doing what she's doing, but I do think she has a good heart. What are your guys' feelings on Mud's heart?
It's like the... I hope you guys understand this, but I think it's like Goonies. It's like chunk.
Oh my
sloth.
God! I was just thinking, even when she walked in the thing, I literally was about to say it was kind of like Goonies. They were going like in through the back way. Wow!
It's just like Chunk and Sloth.
We're meant to
I
be
mean,
on
Chunk.
The show
Chunk's like exactly. Yeah, but it's like Chunk was, you know, a little scared of Sloth in the beginning because he didn't understand Sloth, but yet he was fascinated. And I think that's the thing with Mud is, she's never going to be sure, at least at this point. She wants to see the creature maybe either get cured, if that's what's going on. But she loves the creature, like, knowing, but, like, she doesn't know if... It's like a dog. You don't know sometimes if the dog's going to bite your hand or not, but you still want to go pet it.
Mm-hmm.
And she helps it.
That's a great analogy.
So, well, when Cosima goes into the basement...
I now want a baby Ruth, by the way.
Really? Yeah. Butterfinger for me.
Yeah,
man.
Was it a baby Ruth that he liked? Sorry. Yeah.
No, it was.
Yeah.
Well, the basement, though, and, you know, there's chains and there's blood. We're going to get into Susan's storyline next, and it will explain it a little bit more, but... there was blood and all this stuff. And so Mud is part of this. Not part of the hurt of this man, but she knows what he is and who he is. And she's trying to protect Cosima as
well. We don't know whose blood it is. We don't know if it's an animal's. We don't know if it's someone he hurt. Or we don't know if it's the monster's blood because he's been imprisoned.
Or having experiments on.
Yes, exactly. So, we so many questions.
Or just even like food. Even just like being fed.
Yeah,
fed.
Just raw bloody food.
That whole basement was so American Horror Story Season 1 to me. Like, and also just I've seen so many seasons of American Horror Story. It's a lot of basements, body parts, blood, chains. Yeah. So just shout out to American Horror Story.
AHS.
Any of you guys got any of those same vibes?
If you like Ryan Murphy, there you go.
Yeah, let me know. So let's talk about Susan. We knew she was alive. She's been alive. But we find out this relationship she's had with P.T. Westmoreland.
Mm-hmm.
Rip Van Do you guys think it was sexual at all? They had a romantic thing back in the day? I mean, he's so old.
Exactly. How old was he? At what point was how old is he?
Yeah, like, was she 16? Yeah. Was she 30?
Yeah. And how old was he? Was he, like, you know, like 100? But he looked like he was, like, you know, 45?
I mean, yeah, obviously he has drugs. So I don't think that would be a problem. I feel like maybe, honestly, because... look, it's like, I'm sorry to say this, but you know how, like, when you sleep with a 20-year-old and you're like, man, they don't know what they're doing. Imagine this guy. Like, and then when you're, like, somebody a little older, you're like, hey, that was great. So just for the few fact, like, somebody who's, like, the oldest person in the world, they know they've been around.
Yeah.
I know that's a totally different tangent, but that's what popped in my mind.
It's very vampire-ish.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like... and so I think
prey on the young.
Yes, and I think probably both of these women. I think Virginia and Susan had relationships with him either because they wanted to or they just. I mean, that's, you know, what's the best way to to get what you want from the oldest man in the world, probably the one of, you know, women's oldest tricks in the books.
I know, Amanda says the best thing. You know, Susan doesn't really mind men's ages because of her relationship with Ira. So, yeah, that's beautiful. That's genius. That's
true.
That's true. That's true.
Well done. On yeah, maybe point. She was like, Rip Van Evil doesn't know shit. I'm going back to the young
one. She even asks Ira, she's like, are you jealous?
That's an interesting point. Because
yeah, she did ask that.
I don't know if they're just trying to keep a caster clone in the mix because we love the actor and he's a big part of this. Or if his relationship with Susan is perhaps supposed to be parallel in some way to Susan's relationship with PT back in the day. Because we saw him come, why do we see these relations? Like, is he supposed to be the next generation of what they're doing? Are they wanting him to help? Because PT was totally cool with Ira coming in and seeing Susan and spending time with her, which I wouldn't have thought that he would be. I thought
Ira was like the experiment, though, right? Like, it was like the result of some experiment or things that they worked on together.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
all
he's
the clones.
Like the. Yeah, so
all
like. It's so.
But he needs Susan. I mean, he says, or P.T. Westmoreland says, I need you, Susan. I need your mind to complete our mission. And so I think yeah, that's why he doesn't care if Ira sees him. He wants to give her as much as he can, probably just to have her kind of do because I think there is a history, and it's obviously she can't stand him.
Because Dr. Frankenstein even loves this creature.
This show is very Dr. Frankenstein.
It's very. If you haven't read The Island of Dr. Moreau, you should totally read that.
It's like half like Dr. Frankenstein and then half Dracula.
Yes.
Yeah.
In terms of how you spin it, science terms.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a sciencer, so.
But how you were just talking about it's either fantasy or it's science.
Yeah.
So to make it like, this isn't, it's because it's not a horror show.
It's fantasy.
You know, so it's
fantasy explained by science. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it all. So,
That's a really great thing you said. Fantasy explained by science. So I think this show might have just started off as a fantasy that is being explained to us by science.
And they do it really well because I think a lot of comic book stuff, like X-Men really explains kind of all their superpowers with mutations and stuff like that. And so even like in DC try to do that, not as well. I think the show does a really good job that it's making us even talk about like, well, what is this? Because it goes so deep into the history of people and also into the scientific history of, because, you know, what is science-based evolution? And I think like every title of the show is based on like something like Darwin wrote.
Yeah.
So like they're really keeping that in mind. And if you don't know who Darwin is, then I can't help you. I can't help you.
I'm like, well, go to school.
Go to school. Yeah.
Charlie Darwin, come on.
Yeah.
We all know. But again, that was a great point about Ira. I just think that Ira perhaps, I don't know.
No one's going to be wasted. I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's still Rudy left, right?
Yeah.
Rudy's the other clone, the guy clone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this show,
I think we're going to see him again.
I'm so excited. I'm freaking thrilled to see who else comes up.
I'm excited
but
and scared.
Let's talk about this last conversation with PT and Susan. They have, you know, a glass together. They share a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a little bit about Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Who we didn't see this episode, but we have talked about a lot. And she has the reins. At the end of the day, she has the reins. And Susan is, you know, just pretty livid about this entire thing. But she also explains to Ira what happened between the Virginia... I mean, I don't know if it was a love triangle. I don't know if I'm getting a little CW on you guys. And I'm thinking, you know... what happened back when Virginia was a young girl?
Maybe, who knows?
Something happened, and we find out, though, why these two women hated each other, and one was Castor, one was Lita.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Like you said, in the dialogue, a short, very quick dialogue, we got answers to so much.
Mm-hmm.
So very much.
Mm-hmm.
And when they kind of, when Susan was talking to Ira, and Ira said, why are you trying to protect Kira? And she goes, I'm not trying to protect Kira. I'm trying to protect all of us.
Oh, did she say all of us? I thought she said us, but she said all of us.
Hold on.
It might have been all of us.
No, that's great. Because when she said, I'm trying to protect us.
No, she said us. She said us, Ira. Like,
yeah, she did. I wanted her to say all of us because it makes
right.
you begin going.
It wasn't all of us. I correct myself. It was us.
I don't
us.
Know if Susan is... Yeah, I don't know if Susan is gonna, if she's gonna be a shady bee, or if she's gonna follow through on this and try to protect the girls. Cause she even, you know, she tried to tell Sarah before that she was there to protect the girls. That's kind of what she's kind of always said her MO.
I don't know, because I think the reason I said all of us was cause I'm an optimist and I'm pretty gullible. And
oh, yeah,
I was hearing her say us. Susan. And I was thinking, oh, not just the two of them, but the clone, the Lita clones, the Caster clones.
Which, by the way, Eddie, you corrected me. Speaking of another correct, it wasn't, I said Rudy, it was Mark that's still alive. Rudy was killed by Helena. So sorry, everybody. So many clones.
I just have a question for all of you.
I know,
you.
Right? It's too confusing. And after a while, you're like, wait, yeah. What?
I just want Paul back.
Oh, I just want Paul.
And
can
that's
there be
my
a Paul
question.
Clone?
It's
can
a
there
statement.
Be a Dylan Bruce clone? Lord.
Oh, God.
Sorry. We bond on this, Rick. I don't know your life.
Okay, no, man. I got like so many different versions of Tatiana Maslany, and like Duncan came back. I'm
yeah,
happy there, too.
I appreciate
too,
that you're...
So.
It was nice to see Felix's butt again, too, when he paints.
Yes. You know, he's in the moment.
He's in.
So, at the end of the day, uh-huh. at the end of the episode, we see Susan and P.T. Westmoreland cheers to what they want in the future. They have kind of come together.
Mm-hmm. For now.
For now.
For now.
And we're all terrified. So on that note, let's get into some predictions.
Oh, okay. Let's do some predictions.
After Buzz TV.
We're waiting for the music, right?
No, I guess for me, it's, I mean, I think we're going to find how, like, Cosima's going to keep digging. So she's on her own, probably will learn more about this creature. And
uh-huh.
we'll learn more about the creature. And I guess we'll see how Rachel and Susan get along again after being stabbed and like saying like
yeah.
you know and PT like you know Westmoreland saying okay work together but Rachel is in the hot she's
holding the reins
yeah so we're gonna see some interesting conflict there.
I think. I want to see, kind of prediction is, I'm still like, where do y'all think Allison is? I don't know where she went off. Like, I know she said she's going to see the kids because there's something going on, like, and I'm wondering if people are going off, but then not, like, I don't know. Like, and now Felix is going off to Switzerland with Virginia.
But they have a purpose, though, right?
And
yeah.
I know they do. So it's, I don't know why people are going away on 5 seconds into five. I hope that it's like people don't go away for like 4 episodes and then like 2 episodes in where they throw everybody back together and we're trying
yeah.
to like...
And they're like, we gave you everyone you wanted.
Yeah, because we still haven't seen Nail Tech. I forget her name.
Oh, Crystal.
We still haven't seen Crystal. And again, they're not going to waste anybody. So I want to know about Crystal. This isn't a prediction. These are Matt Has Questions.
because as of next week, we're at mid-season. So you have to have these questions to say, like how are you going to squeeze all this story in the next 5 episodes?
I want my Crystal. I love her. But I think as far as predictions, I think having Susan come back is, I think that's going to throw Rachel into a tailspin. Because I think that, like I've said before, Rachel has...
Tail. Remember the tail?
Oh, yeah.
That's a weird episode. Yeah.
I think Rachel obviously has daddy issues. And we saw that, like, when Allison found out that they had killed... what was his name?
I
want to
say
Loki. Yeah, but when he was, yeah, me too.
Leaky.
Yes.
When
Dr.
she killed Leaky, that was obviously very,
Max
she hated
Hedrum.
Him, but that was like her father figure. And then, so with his weird relationship with Ferdinand, and then now this, I feel like one reason I've said before that she's like, oh, I found my father figure, you know, somebody who like, it's like she believes in him. But now that Susan's going to come back in, I think that's totally going to throw her into mistrust of him as well. And then we're going to start potentially seeing, like, you know, because Rachel said all along she wants to help the girls, all the clones get better and see that, like, is she going to get a little more, like, quote-unquote good and possibly, like, be double agenting?
No.
Come on,
I don't know.
Man. Have you been watching the show, man?
I had hope last season about Rachel, but she killed that when she just tried to kill a bunch of people.
I don't know.
Listen, I will never trust her. I remember.
I know you said that. Yeah, yeah.
I think I had an Orphan Black nightmare. I'm not kidding. Really?
Oh wow.
And I woke up and I was like, I'll never trust Rachel.
I might have it like an Orphan Black sleeping fantasy. Yeah. No, yes. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like running.
I know your
from
life
her.
Now. I know your life now.
So my feelings are. I'm a little bit scared for Kira. She is not on the right and arrow. She knows what's good, but at the same time, like you said, Rick, she's. A teenager, she's becoming. I mean, she's 12. Okay, not tech. Is she 12?
I don't know her.
Maybe she looks way too young. Like she looked maybe 10.
No, I feel 11? Like she was 10 when the show started. But I guess the show is like a year and a half in time.
Yeah.
Maybe teetering towards.
Yeah, preteen. She's a preteen.
She's a preteen. Yeah.
I feel like she's going to continue to have to ask these questions and have to pick a side. And
she's going to go over to Team Rachel. It's going to happen.
But
she's going to go stay with her and all that.
She will have an undercover plan, and she's way smarter than everybody thinks. I think I said that
because she has,
because
she can predict
weeks.
The future. So
I think she'll go over there like wanting to, like when parents get divorced and like it's going to be so much better if I go live with dad. And they go to live with dad, and they're like, oh my gosh, dad smells like beer and Cheetos. This sucks.
Yeah. So I think that Cosima and Kira are both undercover girls. You know, they're okay. Going to figure it out. And I do a bit. Well, I know that there are going to be other clones that have the storyline that Allison did the last episode. So I'm kind of thinking that we're going to do every other
episode.
There's going
to be other flashbacks?
Yes. I know there's a Crystal episode.
Oh, yeah. You did say there was a Crystal flashback.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking this is story. This is all story. They're giving us this episode. And then the next episode will be another, like, backstory to a clone, and then the next episode will be story, and the next episode will be a flashback to a clone.
You know, I just realized I'm okay with it, and the reason why I'm okay with it is because we were saying like, oh, it seems late to do that, but that's what this show does. They did
it'll,
that the
it'll,
first,
it'll explain.
You know what? It did that though the first like season is that we get in and then they would do a flashback episode and add the depth to what was already going on. So I'm okay with it now. I'm less nervous. Thank you for that.
This is the beauty of our panel, you guys, and talking about Orphan Black with other people, because you figure stuff out.
Yes.
So on that note, let's get into telling everyone who we are again. One more time for you, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for having me.
I've had a blast. I love the show. You guys can find me on all social media, at Rick Hong, RickHong.
All right.
And I do Glow right before this.
Yeah. Okay,
I
do Glow.
At 3 o'clock. So.
Then you're doing another show after this, right?
Later on, the strain, but not yet.
I wanted to watch it, but it looks real scary.
It's okay. It's a great twist on the. It's a great science Dracula mythology.
Okay. Oh, by the way, GDD on my part, but you have the beautiful voice. Like you totally like have a radio.
Thanks,
I'm like
dude.
I don't sound like that. I sound like Squeaky Wheel. But yeah, it's good. I like it. All right, everybody. I'm Matt Maher. You can find me at mattmaher.tv. You can listen to my other two podcasts, The Dear Maddie Show, or you can listen to TVT Time, and find me at socials at the Matt Maher's 2 T's, 2 R's.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, you can find me at Sam Davidson at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com. We love you, Clone Club, and we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Happy 4th of July.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Clone you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.